Come grab the keys. Let's go right now with a new Toyota from Modesto Toyota. Now is the time to grab the keys to that new Toyota you want. You can count on Modesto Toyota for great savings. Come in, check out all the great models and deals, or go to ModestoToyota.com and see all the incoming vehicles like I did, then just pick out the one you want. You can get great prices and special lease deals and save big time on gas with the many hybrid cars, SUVs, and trucks, or you can check out the all-electric bZ4X at a low price or an incredible lease deal. Yes, it's time. So let's grab the keys to your new Toyota. And you know, since 1965, Modesto Toyota's had thousands of happy customers like me because of the great service and great prices. So now's the time to grab the keys to your new Toyota and win big time. There's no dealer markup, and the time has never been better. It's where I get my Toyotas. Come find out for yourself at Modesto Toyota and ModestoToyota.com. We haven't talked to Marcus in a while. It is always good to catch up, do a little review, do a little preview. He joins us courtesy of the UMA guest line from The Athletic. What's happening?
What's up, fellas?
Dude, it's been a while, it seems like. How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm enjoying this pre-free agency period. It's about to go crazy, so I'm here for all the shenanigans.
Yeah, and it'll start on Thursday at 3 o'clock. But we got to go back. It was 2 weeks ago today, last time we spoke to you. You were boarding a plane to go back to Boston. Did you go to Fenway Park for A's, Red Sox, and then Game 6 and the way it unfolded, how good Draymond was, just how well they played. And we talked about them winning on the parquet. You gave us the historical nugget about only the Lakers of 85 had ever done it. So just what was it like 2 weeks ago going back to Boston to win another championship, Marcus?
I did go to Fenway, watch the A's get smacked around a little bit. And then, so, you know, we are in our seats, and in the COVID era, it's even harder to get to the floor. But we kind of, like, hustled. It was me and Vincent Goodwill from Yahoo Sports. We kind of, like, you know, used our hustle to get to the court. So there I am. I make it to the court. I'm looking at my feet, standing on the parquet floor, and I'm like, yo, celebrations happening. There's people everywhere, and it's just riveting. And I'm trying to, like, get in this moment where I'm standing on the floor, you know, of legends, right? And then I look up, and Bob Myers has no shoes on with shorts and a shirt on, looking like he's at the pool. And I'm like, hey, you just killed my moment, Bob. Like, you turned this, you turned this into, like, you know, oh, yeah, we chilling. And I was all in my, I was in my zone. But he took off his suit for the champagne shower and was just out there with no shoes on the parquet floor, just disrespecting the parquet. It was hilarious.
That's a great story.
Wow.
From the championship to the parade, I thought maybe this is the best one just because, you know, every once in the other parades, like one guy would kind of go rogue a little bit, get off the bus or whatever. Like basically everybody did. Everybody just jumped the bus and just said, hey, let's just get into the crowd. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was chaotic. It was smaller. Like, so it was such a more intimate setting. Mm-hmm. And so you couldn't really get lost. Like, you couldn't, like, wander too far, even though Draymond went and got some ice cream. But everything was like right in line. So you could kind of see everybody more, and it was, like, more accessible to everybody. Also, you know, it led to Clay playing running back, like, trucking people over, because that's how tight it was. But he fell and knocked down a woman. So it was interesting. It was different. To me, my favorite part was the last – bus had gone and Clay was on the end, and then everybody started following the bus. So it was like before people were on the side of the street and you had to have like a certain band to get in the street. But like after the last bus had passed, you know, the band didn't matter anymore. Security couldn't stop it. People just got in the street and started following the bus. And it created this scene where from the last bus, you could just see the sea of people. And it kind of gave you the one thing that this type of parade doesn't have, that one kind of shot where you could see like how massive it is. Like, you got that visual because people were just like, all right, we following the last bus. It went from a parade to a party, and it was kind of dope to have on Market Street,
without a doubt. And you told a couple of great stories involving Bob and Draymond. And it was on this date, exactly 10 years ago today, June the 28th of 2012. It was Bob Myers' very first draft as officially the Warrior GM. He had been the assistant under Larry Riley. And he takes Harrison Barnes, number 7 overall, Festus Ezeli, number 30 overall, and a guy in the second round named Draymond Green, number 35 overall. And it's incredible to look back on the 10 years and the 8 trips to the finals and the 4 titles and the 6 trips overall. But do you remember that very first draft when they got HB number 7 and Festus 30 and Draymond 35? I know you remember, but do you remember being in the draft with the Warriors that day and how that all went down?
Yeah, I do, because remember the surprise pick that year, and we didn't know who the Warriors were getting at 7, but the surprise pick was Dion Waiters at number 4, I think, to Cleveland, because many people thought, like, that was one of the guys the Warriors were at least looking at. There was at least some voices. I think it was Jerry West who wanted Dion Waiters. But then Cleveland took him forward. It was like, yo, that's pretty high, right? You thought he was in play for 7. And then at that point, 7 comes, and it's like, remember Bogut? They acquired Bogut, but he didn't play because he was hurt.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he still before, hadn't yeah. played yet. So yeah. It was like, do you go big or do you go
because they had to tank that
forward?
Year to keep the
yeah,
pick.
Yeah, to even keep the
HB.
Pick, right. They had to keep 7. Right. Yeah, right.
They shut down Steph that year as well.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know, like, what was going to happen, whether it was going to be – I think it was Andre Drummond who was there. And it's like, what do you do? Yeah. So – but you knew they – I knew they liked Harrison Barnes a lot. And they made the trade because they believed Bogut would be back. So small forward was the piece. As long as you know, hey, we'll have a center, small forward was the piece they needed because you had Steph and you had Clay. And, Andre wasn't there yet, but you needed a small forward. So, yeah, I definitely remember that draft. And I remember saying Draymond would be the Warriors' steal of the draft because
really?
He was really good in his workouts and he was supposed to go in the first round. But also that was that time where the Warriors played zero defense, right? Like ever. They couldn't guard anybody. And, Mark Jackson was kind of trying to put it together, but he didn't have the roster yet. So it was like, yo, they need somebody to play some defense, right? They need somebody who can guard really well, and they got Draymond. And if you watch Draymond at Michigan State, like, that was the thing he did. So I remember saying, this is why Draymond always liked me, because I was like, this might be the steal of the draft, or, pound for pound, this is going to be the Warriors' biggest pick. And guess who was right about that, by the way? Jeez, look at that.
You nailed
it.
Sure,
I go pound for pound line, because he was kind of pudgy, tweener who couldn't shoot, but it's amazing what he's turned into 10 years later. Just incredible.
Ruined tweener, right? Ruined the whole yeah. term tweener.
Yeah.
Like now everybody wants a tweener. Now you want a guy who can play 4 positions.
Exactly. No. Positionless, yeah.
Talking to our friend Marcus Thompson. All right, so free agency in a couple of days and at the top, and I know extensions we've talked about and all these different things, but Looney and GP2, do both of those guys come back? One, none? What do you think on those two guys especially?
I think they get one. Two, I think it's very possible. I just, like, it just depends on, like, what the rest say. If I had to guess, it would be both, right? And if it really comes down to the Warriors just paying, then Joe Lacob will just pay. Like, that's what he'll do. But you could see some other team going crazy a bit, right? And said, all right, here you go. To me, that's kind of the concern. And when you win a championship, people get a little seduced by it. So I do think they get both back. The big question is Looney. How do you keep Looney? And if his number is – the more reasonable Looney's number is, the better chances it is for GP2. I don't know that people will go crazy for him because he can't shoot, but if you just watched him defend in the playoffs, it's like tough to say, yo, we don't need that. But keep in mind, whatever they get is like times 7. So you sign Looney for, whatever, $10 million a year, that's 70, right? You sign GP for 6, that's 42. So I do think both will come, but it just depends. Does Dallas, does a team like Orlando go crazy? Does Mike Brown say, empty the bank for Looney in Sacramento? Like, that's the big question, I think.
So this all starts Thursday at 3 o'clock our time. And I remember in past years, like when they re-signed Sean Livingston, it happened at like 9 o'clock that night, midnight in the East, and they had him signed like a minute after the deadline. Is this something that you think will happen right around 3 or shortly after? Or, as you say, is Kevon going to shop it, maybe Saxon play for him, and we're here in Dallas maybe in play for GP2? Does it happen right at 3 o'clock, or are we going to have to sweat a few hours, you think?
I think we're going to have to sweat. You know, I think those other deals, it was like, yo, we don't have any money, and we're keeping these guys, right? We're keeping our guys, and we're not really in the mix. I think Looney now, like, he has to put his toe in the water, and I don't know that he'll be first. You know, those guys like Looney, you kind of got to let the bigger chips. I think one of the big chips did fall with Kyrie staying in Brooklyn. Like, that was a big deal. That would have shaken things up. But some of the big chips would probably be working out maybe now or even earlier, and then you'll see who's got cap space left after that. Now, like, Looney's in play. So I don't think it'll be right away. Unless Looney's like, man, just give me a salary that makes me, you know, feel like I want it, and they work it out without Looney even hitting the market. But I think after all Looney's been through, he deserves to get wine and dine a little bit and see what's.
Come grab the keys. Let's go right now with a new Toyota from Modesto Toyota. Now is the time to grab the keys to that new Toyota you want. You can count on Modesto Toyota for great savings. Come in, check out all the great models and deals, or go to ModestoToyota.com and see all the incoming vehicles like I did, then just pick out the one you want. You can get great prices and special lease deals and save big time on gas with the many hybrid cars, SUVs, and trucks, or you can check out the all-electric bZ4X at a low price or an incredible lease deal. Yes, it's time. So let's grab the keys to your new Toyota. And you know, since 1965, Modesto Toyota's had thousands of happy customers like me because of the great service and great prices. So now's the time to grab the keys to your new Toyota and win big time. There's no dealer markup, and the time has never been better. It's where I get my Toyotas. Come find out for yourself at Modesto Toyota and ModestoToyota.com.
Out there for them.
Well, and here's the other thing, too, and you mentioned this. There's only, what, four teams with significant cap space? Orlando, Detroit, Indiana, San Antonio are all around 20-plus. You get down to the Blazers, they're around 10, and then that's it. There's five teams with salary cap space at all. So let's say the Kings, for example, nobody needs defense more than those guys do. And you mentioned until Draymond Green got to the Warriors, they really didn't think defense was a thing. And I would imagine that Mike Brown would love to get some defensive-minded guys in there like Payton or Looney, but they're $25 million over the number. So they'd have to go to the Warriors and say, hey, you know, we'd like to work something out. And the Warriors are going to say, no way. We're not playing with you.
Or, you know, you can move some pieces around and create some cap space. All of these teams have these contingency plans, yeah. Right, where if you need to get under, you get under, right? I mean, if Kyrie opts out and is like, hey, I want to play for Mike Brown in Sacramento, better believe they better get under, right, just so they can get a superstar. And now, it's difficult to do, but I do think the Kings have some pieces, like, that they can say, all right, we can – These players are good enough to move, but, like, you know, not great enough to keep. So I think you're right. And there's not that many teams that have cap space. There's not that many teams that have a lot. The question is, does one push the number too high for Looney that makes GP2 untenable? If somebody comes and says, hey, Looney, we got $20 million for you, right? Now that $6 million for GP2 is a lot. So if Dallas just offers them the mid-level, I don't know if they're willing to pay $26 million for both of those guys. So that's where the Looney factor comes in. It would be ideal for them if Looney has a number in mind and the Warriors match it, and he either don't get it on the free agent market, or they work it out like, hey man, you're a Warrior, let's not even bother. And that number is manageable. And maybe they even go to Looney and say, hey, man, if you do this number, we can keep GP as well. You know, like, they can work that out. So that would be ideal. And, you know, who knows? Looney's one of those guys I think everybody understands is really good with the Warriors. So you got to really appreciate the things he does. But the league normally doesn't pay for that. So you kind of got a good shot to keep both of them. Because neither of them do the things that really get you money in the market. You know, you got to be able to score. Like, that's basically what it is. You got to get buckets on the market. So maybe the rebounding is more valuable if people see them on the final floor, the Western Conference final floor balling. But like you said, it's not that many teams. My concern would be after everything is moving and people are happening, maybe some teams give up, right? Like if Brooklyn just gave up, it was like, look, we lost Kyrie, let's trade Kevin to start over. Then a team like that becomes in a mix, and you just never know when stuff like that happens.
What do you think happens with Otto Porter Jr.? The Warriors only have his non-bird rights, so they can't give him more than 3.1. But they do have that $6.4 million taxpayer mid-level exception they could use. What are your thoughts about bringing Otto Porter Jr. back? Can they pull that off?
I think that's going to be tough. I think other teams, like for what Otto brings, you know, to give him $5, $6, $7 million is nothing, right? But that's a lot for the Warriors, you know. So I actually think he'll get something like that. I think somebody will give him their whole mid-level maybe. You know, you're already looking at the Celtics wanting some of what he brings. But, you know, the thing about Otto is he's got the great shooting numbers, right? 68% true shooting percentage, 40 for 39, high 39s for three, from three. So you combine that with, like, this new level of – or even a reminder of how well he plays defense and then the rebounding. Like, that helps guys like that get some money. And then you put on him, like, he's got the gold luster from the championship. I think somebody will say, man, let's give a guy like that the mid-level. And I don't know if the Warriors can go that high with Otto Porter. They can do it for Looney. They'll do it for Looney. They may do it for GP2. But with Jonathan Kuminga coming behind them, with Patrick Baldwin having been drafted, I feel like they've got to create space for Kuminga. And that space just happened to be where Otto plays.
Well, you know, and here's what I think is interesting. And again, Looney and Wiseman aren't the same player. Obviously, Kuminga and Otto Porter or GP2. But how do they keep the core intact potentially, but also say, geez, we got to open up some space for Wiseman. We got to open up some space for Kuminga. These guys, we need to see what these guys are and get them a few minutes.
Well, that's where Otto is going to be tough for, like, Otto, Bielisa, you know, those guys, because that's where Kuminga plays. So that's kind of an easy solution. You basically got backup minutes at power forward, and, you know, when they go small, like, you could put him in that lineup. I think Wiseman, first, he's got to prove he can play, right? How many minutes are you reserving for him? Mm-hmm. That's the big question. If it's just the minutes behind Looney, then you're good. I do think that will impact how much you give Looney. Maybe it's a front-loaded deal. But at some point, they have to be banking on the fact that there's going to be a transition, a flip, right? And Wiseman's got to play. But as it is now, like, Looney's your starting center, and you can't really top that unless Wiseman is healthy and being productive. So his minutes to me are less – I don't even think they're going to press it. I think they'll let him bring him on his own pace. They've already shown they can win a championship with Looney. But Kuminga, like, he's got to get in the mix, and I think that's going to happen this year.
What are you hearing about Andre Iguodala? I mean, most people think he is going to retire. Do you think he is? What's the timeline on that? How's he going to do it? I mean, Andre could go so many different ways with that announcement. And then if he does retire, what do you think he goes into?
Well, it won't be coaching. Like, it's going to be something.
Nah, it won't pay,
like,
him enough.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be something huge. I can't see Andre in a polo sitting behind the bench. Like, that's too small time.
I agree.
Andre, by the time he's done, in the next 20 years, we're going to be talking about what Andre did off the court, and his basketball is going to be a footnote, which is incredible because he had a great basketball career. But I thought he was gone. I think there's some recruiting happening, like, really? You know, Steve and Steph Curry. I think they see the value of Andre. I mean, there was a moment in the finals where GP2 did something, and Andre, like, calls him over, and he's like, you could tell he's mad at him, and GP2 barks back, and he's, you know, and then he comes out of the game and he sits next to him, and they're just basically having it out, and Andre is telling them what he did wrong. And it was just like one of those moments where it was like, only person who could do this is Andre. Like, Steph and Draymond can't do it. They're literally on the court trying to win a championship, right? Steve can't do it. He's coaching. And the assistant coaches can't be screaming at GP2 like that. Like, you know, you can't just go in on play. I mean, you can if you got, like, a unique relationship, but it's hard to get that. Like, only Andre can probably be where you know he's right. You could just look at the situation and be like, of course Andre's right because it's Andre. And also he has the cachet to, like, go into a player. I think they kept talking about how valuable he was. I know Steve would love him in some Udonis Haslam type role where he's on the end of the bench. And I know Steph and Draymond and Clay would love him there. It really helps to have a veteran presence on the end of the bench. We saw it where the dudes who were playing heavy minutes had to be that, and it was tough for them. It's hard to do both. So it's good to have him there. And I think if there's anything that might help bring him back, it's that I don't think he liked the way he went out, you know. I think he wanted to – if he was playing in the finals, like, he's a competitor, he wanted to be out there on the floor. And, you know, you look at his body, it looks like he has plenty left, right? He doesn't look like a dude who's close to retirement. He still looks like he's in great shape. But maybe there's a part of him that's like, I don't want to go out like that where you call me in at the last minute, right, to like, get an honorary – you know, like, nah, I think he wants to play, and maybe he can convince himself there's some time. So I think, first off, he'll probably wait to see what the roster shakes out to be and see if there's a spot at the end. But I could see him going, doing some Silicon Valley venture that's, like, major, you know, becoming this mogul. But also, the plans that he wants to do is probably better for him to be in the NBA and playing. It probably helps what he wants to do next. So, to me, I thought it was done, but maybe not. And we haven't heard anything yet. So, I think the pitch might be happening still.
As far as Summer League is concerned, have you heard anything on Wiseman? What are the other young guys going to do? Obviously, Moses Moody, as Kendrick Perkins struggled to say even during the draft, although he was very happy that he said it right a couple of times. Patrick Baldwin Jr. And then they seem to be high on this kid, Ryan Rollins. Are we going to see all those guys? And Kuminga,
they better
too.
Better behind him. They paid $2 million for him.
that's a little bit of pressure. Like, somebody gives up $2 million and says, dude, I know you're picked at 44, but you better do something.
Hey, man, that's been like a scarlet letter for guys. Didn't they go up for Smiley Geach? They went up for Jordan Bell.
Oh, Smiley Geach. I'd forgotten about him. Oh, boy.
Hey, man, people spend money to move up to get you. It's a little bit different. I do think, you know, I think Jonathan Kuminga is in the Congo meeting with the president. So I don't know if he'll be back for the California Classic, but I do, from what I'm told, James Wiseman will at least play one game in that Classic. He won't play both because it's back-to-back, but he'll play one game. Moody will play. Baldwin has to get the stamp from Rick Celebrini. Like, he's in that realm now because of his ankle. He's got to get cleared by Celebrini. I do think you'll see at some point in Las Vegas, provided Celebrini clears the ball, I think you'll see all of them. You'll definitely see Rollins. You'll definitely see Moody and Kuminga. But probably I'm waiting for the time you get them all together, right, where all of them take the floor, like the future. Maybe they'll put like a little patch on their jersey or something, like, we're, you know, the future. Larry O'Brien pursuers, right? And they'll all be on the court together to be Moody, Kuminga, Wiseman, Rollins, Baldwin. That'll be a glimpse into like 2035 Warriors, right? Like, let's see. I want to see. I hope it happens. It probably happened in Summer League. I do think Kuminga. Well, every game is spaced out in Vegas, so you don't have to worry about back to back. But I do think Kuminga might miss. He's going to miss something because he's in the Congo with the president, which is, you know, a big deal, especially, you know, he left home when he was like, who was he, 13 or something crazy when he left home? So it's a big moment for him to go back. But I do think we'll see him all in Vegas at some point.
Great stuff, man. Good to catch up with you. We appreciate it. We'll do it soon. All right, by the way, you'll go down to Vegas, won't you, or no?
Man, yes, I'll be in Vegas. Who passes that up? That's
no, it's like 120, though.
Yeah, man, nobody's going outside,
shade,
John. No one's going outside.
Yeah, ain't nobody going outside. You work the shade. Yeah, listen, you know, follow the mystery. You just got to survive in the trip.
That's right.
From the car to wherever you go.
That's true.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. That's all. Don't park too far. But if I can make it from the car to the air condition, then I can survive. We good. Well,
that's true.
It's different than that parade. There was no.
Oh, dude.
There was no air conditioning at the end. There was no. You just sitting in that jet. It was crazy.
Wow. Hey, thanks. We appreciate it. It's good to hear from you.
All right. Have a good one, fellas.
See you, man.
Thank you, man.
That is the great, and I do mean great, Marcus Thompson from The Athletic.
Come grab the keys. Let's go right now with a new Toyota from Modesto Toyota. Now is the time to grab the keys to that new Toyota you want. You can count on Modesto Toyota for great savings. Come in, check out all the great models and deals, or go to ModestoToyota.com and see all the incoming vehicles like I did, then just pick out the one you want. You can get great prices and special lease deals and save big time on gas with the many hybrid cars, SUVs, and trucks. Or you can check out the all-electric bZ4X at a low price or an incredible lease deal. Yes, it's time. So let's grab the keys to your new Toyota. And you know, since 1965, Modesto Toyota's had thousands of happy customers like me because of the great service and great prices. So now's the time to grab the keys to your new Toyota and win big time. There's no dealer markup, and the time has never been better. It's where I get my Toyotas. Come find out for yourself at Modesto Toyota and ModestoToyota.com.